The most surprising thing is that President Nangoko has done nothing as per the recommendation of the Mantlante Commission of Inquiry that he put in place, the recommendations of which have not been honored yet. Nobody has been arrested for the murder of the 1st of August people soon after the elections. And more so, some people were murdered again, some raped, some harassed, some beaten up after the demonstrations that occurred late in January. Now, the most surprising thing is that the SADC and AU themselves have not sent any envoy, anybody, to make an inquiry or even said a reasonable statement which actually confirms that they don't condone any violence. So these people that are going, the envoys that are going, obviously are going to distort the information about demonstrations to make it appear like the demonstrators themselves were the wrong people doing the wrong things. But the question is, did the demonstrators murder themselves? Did these 12 people murder themselves, or did they murder each other? Is it anywhere possible that weapons were stolen from an armory of the army or an armory of the police by certain people that are not known, and then those people went around killing people? No, I don't think so. I think the army and police did it. If you look at what Charity Charamba said when he was asked at press conference, he said these pictures of people that are being beaten were pictures taken in 2016. Surprisingly, he was proved wrong. She never apologized. Neither did the president apologize. Because the person who actually did that was arrested the following day. So we are living with people who are not honest. No protection of human rights, forget Mr. Tu. That will never happen.
Yes, and we see that some African leaders are already talking about targeted sanctions instead of maybe addressing. So why is it that they will focus on that?
The targeted sanctions don't work. They should try and enforce a dialogue. Put up a team of United Nations, AU, and SADC. They come to Zimbabwe and enforce a dialogue. A dialogue is what is needed. Reforms are what is needed. We don't need to go to Russia and hire expensive planes. No, we need reforms. We need to sit down in Parliament and reform our constitution so that the election process is democratic. That's all we need. We need to sit down as political parties, to be ZANU-PF, MDC, and other political parties, sit down and put in reform. Reforms are the only thing that we don't need to run around sending envoys everywhere. No, we don't need that.
And now it appears as if the government is condemning the opposition for what happened in Zimbabwe. So at the end of the day, what's going on?
They don't want us to do that. They don't want us, you see, these people have no wish to reform. They don't want to reform, that's all. They will keep on blaming the opposition and blaming whoever. They don't want to. Mr. Dube, the thing is simple here. We sit down and put in the reforms, the economic and social political reforms. It's all we need. That's all we need. We don't need to run around lying to one another. No.
Why don't they want to do that?
I don't know. Maybe they're protecting their ill-gotten wealth. Other things that they did during the time, the 39 years they've been ruling this country.
The president sending of this special envoy is a simple matter of telling the other side of the story. As I've always said, a coin is two sides. And unfortunately, here with us right now, we have read an unfortunate scenario where the Western media, the likes of Sky News and them, are busy peddling one side of the story and not telling the world the other side of the story. And unfortunately, these people that we are talking of, where the president is sending the envoys to, are only privileged to watch news from the other side of the coin. And hence, the president is seeing the need for him to therefore then dispatch people that will then tell the other side of the story. For example, I'll tell you one thing. We condemn, and I will never condone the killings of anybody, and I will never support the rapings of our sisters. It is totally wrong, and I will never, ever allow and look and support torturing of human beings. Like a video that I saw, if that is true, where a soldier was making people crawl down on the ground, that is inhuman, and that person must be looked out for, and the law must take its fullest course on such individuals, because that's barbaric, that's inhuman, and we should never allow.
Mr. Chuma, there are indications that maybe the president may give a certain side without these other people putting some, giving some input into what is going on in Zimbabwe, and therefore they may mislead African leaders on what is happening in Zimbabwe. Is that not the case?
That's not the case, because the African leaders have already seen the other side, which has been put up by BBC, Sky, and all other media houses out there. They've seen the other side, but unfortunately, Sky, BBC, and all other media houses did not show the pictures of that policeman that was killed here in Bulawayo in Dumbani. They did not show the police stations that were petrol bombed and police cars that were burned and stuff. They did not show that. So those African leaders don't know that side of the story, where it actually started from. Where the moment government pressed that panic button, where did it begin? Why did they press the panic button? Why did they become so ruthless? All that story must be told as well, so that the people appreciate where it all began and where it ended. And like I said, both sides of the story should be condemned. We should not allow the killing of anybody. That policeman was a national duty, trying to go about his normal duty of protecting the same people that eventually killed him. And that should not be allowed. But at the same time, these policemen and soldiers that are killing people or brutalizing people should not also be allowed, because they are supposed to be protecting those very same people that they are now brutalizing. So, like I'm saying, all these stories must be put bare on the table for the world to judge.
And then there's this issue in which African leaders normally talk about sanctions as soon as these envoys get to their countries. Are they not going to be talking the same thing, since Mr. Kenyatta has already started talking about the sanctions?
Well, I am glad our African brothers are beginning to see the reality of sanctions. I saw the reality of sanctions one day when I wanted to go into Edgar's store to buy a pair of Levi jeans and a pair of Nike trainers. And when I got there, because I had seen them a week ago, but I didn't have enough money to buy them. When I finally found money to buy them, when I went back to Edgar's, I found them out of stock, all of them. And I asked the people, what happened to all that stock that was here, all the nice Levi's that were here? And I was simply told that, no, Levi and Nike are American products, and therefore they've been withdrawn, because we're told that in Zimbabwe we cannot sell any American product. And that's sanctions for you, real sanctions in real terms. So I am glad that our brothers in Africa and sisters in Africa are beginning to see that this thing is real. And unfortunately, the people that are intended to be suffering from those sanctions are not suffering at all. The president can still go to America in New York and address the UN. But the person that is really suffering is me and my fellow brothers and sisters here, not down here, who are the ones who are feeling the brunt of this sanction. So they are not solving the problem at all.